Greetings, I'm Larry Walsh, and welcome to Pod 2112, the official podcast of the 2112 Group, where we talk with industry and business thought leaders about the trends shaping the world around us. Ease of doing business is an issue we hear a lot about in the technology channel. Channel chiefs and executives will often use the phrase as part of their objectives to improve relations and productivity with between vendors and partners. Just what is ease of doing business? Well, it's one of those things that's hard to define, but you know it when you see it. Or to put it another way, you know when you see the things that cause friction between vendors and partners. Vendors invest a lot in systems, automation, processes that are designed to facilitate transactions with partners. From the partner's perspective, though, these systems and processes are often a labyrinth of complexity. The more time it takes to get a quote, find information in a partner portal, complete training and certification requirements, register a deal, process an MDF claim, or apply for a rebate, the less time there is talking with customers and fulfilling orders. Friction is something our guest, Rudolfo Cardenuto, thinks a lot about. As president of business software vendor SAP's global partner operations, it's his job to root out complexity in channel relationships and create what he calls frictionless partnerships. Not only does Cardenuto believe frictionless partnerships are a means for increasing channel productivity, but also a necessity to keep pace with the rapidly evolving market and customer expectations. And with that, welcome to Pod 2112, Rodolfo.
Hi, Larry. Good to be with you here.
Thank you. So, look, when we first met, you were talking at a conference in New York about creating frictionless partnerships. Let's start by having you tell us what you mean by frictionless and why is it important?
Well, first, I think it's important because we are actually having an experience as consumers, as frictionless experiences now. So when you go to the airline, now you have a frictionless checking, a frictionless boarding. When you buy something, you have a frictionless experience. And when you are buying something with a one click, so that's the experience that we want to bring to the business, to our business with our partners now, a frictionless experience to our partners and actually a frictionless experience to our customers ultimately.
Right. You know, it sounds to me, though, is that frictionless is another way of saying ease of doing business. And we hear that phrase, you know, battered around a lot. Every time you go to a partner conference or a new channel chief takes a job, they talk about improving ease of doing business. This type of frictionless processes and relationships, is that ultimately what we're talking about, is creating the ultimate ease of doing business?
I think that's a good challenge for us to discuss. What's the difference between ease of doing business and frictionless experience? Let me give you some analogies here, metaphors of the business that we are, or as a consumers, of what happened with us. I think easy to do business with an airline is when you buy tickets online. A frictionless experience, and when you can check in online, when you have you got your boarding pass online, so and you go throughout the process in a frictionless experience. When you are, for instance, when you are, you know, a hotel experience or lodging experience, when you buy or when you reserve your room online, it's easy to do business with a hotel. However, when you do your check-in online, when you have your digital key that you can open your room door online and everything else, that's a frictionless experience. So the difference between easy of doing business and frictionless experience with a partnership goes from a T's and C's. You want to, you know, easy to do a business from a terms and conditions perspective, up to the moment with our partners that you have these electronic certification, pre-sales, support, quotation, proposals, all online experiences, all digital experiences with our partners and ultimately with our customers. That's the difference, is the scope, I guess.
Right. So tell me, why do we need to do this? Because we have a lot of automation in channel management today. We have self-service portals for partners to get information, quotes, order product, to manage their relationships and their accounts. And we have vendors like SAP have invested a lot in their infrastructure and their human resources and channel management. It seems like there's a lot of mechanisms already in place. Is there something that's impeding true progress that's creating friction?
Absolutely not. But I think you just described it, what is a frictionless experience and what is a frictionless infrastructure for us. As you said, we have been investing a lot in our portal. We call it a Partner Edge portal, where our partners can do that from certification to support, to training, to development, quotations and proposals, all online in a frictionless experience. But those are things that we started to invest maybe a couple of years ago. Before that, it was much more in terms of the relationship, a friction or easy to do business from a T&C perspective and a relationship with the partner. Now is more of a focus on frictionless from the tools. And now we do have the tools. Now we have the infrastructure that can support that. That's exactly your description is what we are doing from a frictionless experience. And if you look at the consumer side, who is winning the consumers are the ones that are actually providing a frictionless experience for the consumers. Because you don't want to go through the hurdles of doing business or to experience that specific service or from a provider. You want, from a consumer perspective, this frictionless experience. And that's the advance of the digital tool set.
So at SAP, what started you down this journey of becoming frictionless? What was the impetus for simplifying processes and resources with your partners?
If you look at SAP in the last 5 years, let me give you a little bit of, let me put it into context, and you are going to understand that for your audience also to understand. Maybe 5 years, 7 years ago, we were very much focused on an ERP platform in an on-prem type of a business. And now, fast forward 7 years, our business today is maybe ERP is 30% of our business, 70% of our business is non-ERP. So we are in the HCM business, we are in our SRM business, we are in the CRM business, we have an on-prem and a cloud business. So our portfolio multiplied tremendously. So we had exponential growth in terms of a portfolio, and that, of course, with this growth of a portfolio or widened the portfolio, broader the portfolio that we have, the complexity came together with that. Because before it was easier for us just to talk to the CIO in the companies, and more of a technical ERP conversation. Now we have to talk to the CIO, we have to talk to the HR head, we have to talk to the marketing and sales head in the companies, we have to talk to the logistics head, we have to talk to the procurement head. So we have to talk now to a lot of people because of the broader scope of our portfolio that we have. So we started to have this conversation. How can we actually develop our partners to cope with this complexity? We cannot just add complexity and expect that our customers and our partners will cope with that. So we started this journey into a frictionless experience to our partners and making sure that they have. Dealing with the success factors, which is a part of the portfolio, or BYD, which is another part of the portfolio, or Concur, etc., you're going to have the same experience. And we want to provide a frictionless experience regardless of the portfolio. So what we are trying to do, Larry, is to tame the complexity. Taming the complexity is to provide a frictionless experience to our partners and our customers.
So is complexity the source of friction or a continuing source of friction? Because what you're describing is really about the changing dynamics of the marketplace, the purchasing processes, the organizations that companies like yours and your partners are selling into. So are we really, when we're talking about frictionless, we're also talking about maybe greasing complexity into simplicity?
Complexity is part of our business today, is part of our company, consumers today is part of our life today. Our life is very complex. If you look at all the technologies and availables and services, it's very complex. But the challenge for the vendors like SAP is how to tame the complexity and offer and provide a frictionless experience to the consumers. It's no secret that when you when uh, When you deal with Amazon, for instance, and when you are purchasing through Amazon, it's a very complex business. The logistics, the warehouses, the digital tools that you use, everything behind that portal that you are using is very complex. But from a customer experience, it's very frictionless. It's a frictionless experience. You buy with one click. You just selected the product that you wanted. You buy with one click. So the challenge: how to tame the complexity, not to avoid the complexity.
How do you measure your success in being frictionless? What are some of the things you look for to say these efforts are working?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you have indirect measures and direct measures. The direct measure, let me give you a few key points here. A couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, we were doing about 5,000 transactions per year with our partners. Now we are doing 20,000 transactions per year with our partners. Our partner ecosystem went from maybe 5,000-6,000 to 17,000 partners in our ecosystem. So we more than double, almost triple the partner ecosystem. We quadruple the number of transactions with our partners. That's a direct, measure of the success of that we are providing a feature on that, because we did not quadruple our organization. We did not triple our budget. So our cost is approximately the same, but we are able now to manage exponentially more transactions and serve much more partners than we were 2.5 to 3 years ago. Indirectly, of course, we have all those surveys. We have KPIs that we put in our teams, etc. Those are indirect. But the direct measure actually is the volume of business that we are producing with our partners and the number of partners that we are reaching.
What advice do you give to others for creating a process or program that not only achieves this level of frictionless that you're talking about, but also safeguards from that complexity creeping back in and creating friction again?
Well, always challenge yourself, always challenge your business. I think what happened with us was when we moved from an on-prem business to a cloud business, a single focus portfolio ERP to multiple solutions portfolio as we have today, we had to challenge ourselves and ask ourselves, can we continue to do the things the way we were doing before? And of course, the answer is very simple. But sometimes we know the answer. No, we cannot. But right after that, it comes up. But what can we do it? So we said, no, we cannot. And we are going to do things differently. And we started to do things looking for digital tools. We did not look into the past and said, well, we did that like that in the past. Let's try to do just better and more. It's not about doing better and more of what you were doing in the past. It's how to do things differently. And, of course, a lot of things face the leadership that we actually or ultimately lead this effort in terms of transformation.
Do you think, because again, if we're talking about reducing complexity, making things easier, making it, you're one of the byproducts I would imagine here is also making your relationships predictable. Can this then also become a differentiator for a vendor like SAP to attract and retain partners that become more productive with you?
I have no doubt about that, Larry. I'm sure that the partners, as well as the customers, they are looking for this kind of a frictionless experience, and they are looking for this kind of a predictability from the vendor. It's not from our, you said that to make the partners more predictable, I believe it's to make our business more predictable. And once we offer this kind of a platform and infrastructure to our partners, they know what to expect. They know what to how to deal with SAP. They know what to offer their customers, to the end user customers, and it's easier for them also to plan their own business. So it's predictable for them. It's a They're deep business for us, and it's predictable for our customers, because in the end, it's a customer that will sign up with the partner with us. So I don't want the customer to see or to expect or to challenge intermediations. It's very transparent also for our customers.
So what would you say to a person at another vendor who's running a channel and says, you know what, you're saying the right things, Rodolfo, where do I start?
Okay. First, I'm not going to give them any tips for that if they are a competitor, but if they are a vendor that is our partner, one of the things, I'm working with a lot of our partners, a lot of our peers in the industry to develop this kind of a portal, this kind of a mindset in the business. And actually, some of those things we did not invent. We actually leverage much of what is happening on the consumer side of the business. We leverage that from other partners. Some of them I already mentioned here, like Amazon or Microsoft. They are partners of ours, as well as others. I don't want to just focus on those two partners, but we have like Google, a big partner of ours, Apple is a partner. So we are leveraging much of their experience into our experience. And we are actually working together in some of those things. We're not working in our portal without having taking into consideration that our customers and our partners, they have mobile devices in hands and they are doing business on the go. And so we are partnering with them to do the same.
Very good. So, Rodolfo, on Pod 2112, we like to close out our episodes with our five questions. And you'll think of them as just whimsical queries, or in this case, maybe a quiz. And for you, we have five questions about friction. So are you ready for our five questions?
I'm not sure I'm ready, but I'm gonna shoot.
All right, let's give it a shot. So, Rodolfo, first question. Who said the following quote, "Our goal is to make it so there is as little friction as possible to having social experience"? Was it Winston Churchill or Mark Zuckerberg?
I guess it was Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Churchill's quote was a little different on the topic. Second question. What is the name of the aerosol lubrication compound developed by Rocket Chemical Company after 40 attempts to protect the skins of Atlas missiles?
I think it's oil.
you're close. It was called WD-40.
WD-40 is an oil. Yep.
All right.
It's a lubricant.
Yes. So, third question. Friction gives off what kind of energy, kinetic or inertial?
Friction is inertial.
It is kinetic.
It's a kinetic.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, you're 1-for-3 so far. Let's see if we can get the last two here.
All right.
Question 4. Glaciers sit on a thin layer of what substance that allows them to resist friction and move?
Grass. Fat.
I'm going to give you one clue here. You also drink it.
You also drink it. Water?
Water. There you go. We'll give you that one. And our final question. What Italian inventor and painter conducted the first systemic study of friction?
Italian inventor. First systemic...
And painter.
Leonardo
da Vinci. So there you go. Yep. You went. Yep. I'm going to give it to you. You went 3-for-5. So good job, Rodolfo.
Okay. Thank you, Larry.
And there you have it. You found another reminder that no one likes the shock that comes from static friction by listening to us talk about frictionless partnerships on Pod 2112. I'd like to thank our guest, Rodolfo Cardenuto, the president of SAP's Global Partner Operations, for joining us today. And I want to thank all of you for listening into Pod 2112, a production of the 2112 Group, a business strategy and research firm. Listen to us again when we talk with industry thought leaders and influencers about the world around us. For more information about 2112 services, email us at info@the2112group.com, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter.